This Thursday, March 3rd, at 7 p.m. at Boston University. Diana Bhutu was born in Canada. Her parents were Palestinian citizens of Israel. After earning a law degree from Queen's University in Canada, Ms. Bhutu moved to Palestine in 2000. She continues to work for justice for Palestinians and teaches at Berzeit University in Ramallah. That's this Thursday, March 3rd, from 7 to 9 p.m. at Boston University. That's 8 Mary Street in the Photonic Center, room 206.
Is that St. Mary Street?
Yeah, that's right. That's what it is.
That's what it is.
Thank you.
Not a problem. I'm here to help or to edit, as the case may be. Mm-hmm. Well, then, it's 6:59 on my clock. I think there's no reason we shouldn't go and make room for music for human beings. All I can say is that the views and opinions expressed on this program have been those of the participants and not necessarily the staff and management of WMBR, the Technology Broadcasting Corporation, or the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. I intend to be back next week. I hope you will be as well. I'm going to end with a brief announcement, and hopefully Music for Human Beings will come right in after. I think I've mentioned this before. If you haven't heard about it, it's about time you did and start thinking about it. The National Conference for Media Reform, which is a very important, wonderful conference, takes place every other year in different cities, is coming to Boston April 8th to 10th. And here's a brief announcement about that. And that will be right here. Well, maybe not right there. Maybe that's not right where it is. Hang on. I'll find it. Okay.
Do you want to change the world? Come to the National Conference for Media Reform at Boston Seaport World Trade Center and join many others who care about corporate media control, quality news reporting, independent music, and online freedom and innovation. To register, go to freepress.net. The National Conference for Media Reform. Change the media. Change the world.
one. Yes, marhaban. Marhaban fi music for human. I'm a Dr. Jalis al-Sakran, and may the thirst for discovery be quenched by the soda of unity. We have an extremely expansive circle this evening, a circle approximating a dodecagon. We are also pleased to have the most complex audio setup in history. Let us see if we are joined by Aurora. Aurora, are you there?
Thank you for having me on the show today.
Thank you for joining with us, Aurora.
It is my pleasure to be here beyond the glass.
Aurora, of course, is a vocal therapist.
That's right. And I hope that all of our listeners and our co-hosts may enjoy and partake in the therapy together.
We are also joined by Zoro, the numerologist. Zoro, marhaban.
Thank you, doctor. Thank you to all the listeners out there as well. I am pleased to be back.
Of course, our pleasure is most extreme in depth.
And quite mutual.
We are also pleased to have Erno, the potions master. Erno, marhaban.
Thank you, doctor. I would like to extend a welcome to all of our listeners and to the many co-hosts we have here today. Thank you for having me.
We have also some newcomers. Say marhaban to our spiritual midwife.
Hello. Thank you for having me. Muchas gracias. My name is Dr. Grande Epe Inga, and I am a spiritual midwife, and I am very happy to be with you tonight.
Dr. Epe, it is our pleasure, and I'm sure that all of our listeners have read your incredible publications on the topic of spiritual midwifery.
Yes, I've been publicized several times, and spiritual midwife is a very complex subject, but easy at the same time, so I'm looking forward to speaking further about that this evening.
This is interesting. I am sort of wondering how many of the parallels you may make between one kind of a midwife or some kind of, you know what I mean, between the non-spiritual midwife, and how do the occupations may be similar or different?
Well, a spiritual midwife, just like a regular human midwife, has to do with the rebirth. Well, in this case, it's a rebirth rather than a human birth. What I specialize in is when people are ready for a rebirth, I help them through the transition of getting to the point where they're ready for the rebirth, helping them through the actual staging or would be called pregnancy, and then I help them with the actual rebirth of their spiritual self.
This is such a lovely sounding service that you are giving to people, and I wonder whether it is recurring, whether someone comes to you several times in their lives, or how frequently that may occur.
Well, the average person may go through 3 to 4 rebirths in their average human lifespan, which could be what we would call 80 years. Some people are rebirthed more than others spiritually, and those people that go through multiple rebirths, go through more than I would say 5 rebirths, those are the ones I especially assist, because it's very important for them to really understand the process and really understand that when they are having a new life, what that new life means to the universe and all the other energies involved.
So now,
excuse me, so I just have a quick question, Doctor. What brings someone to want a spiritual rebirth? Do they come to you with laden with problems or laden with concerns that they realize, I need a rebirthing, a new life to shed these problems?
That's a great question. It depends. Some people have gone through many problems and they want a new life, have been through a breakup, have been through a job loss, a death. Other people just want to experience something new. But the actual process of becoming impregnated so a new rebirth can happen is one that I actually help them with through a concoction of both mental exercises and more topical solutions for them to apply to help them through the process to get them to the actual point of rebirth.
So this is interesting and quite relates, I think, to my question, which is the spiritual rebirth, is it something which may be chosen all the time, or does it become inevitable to some individuals?
I think it's inevitable to some individuals. I just think that some individuals don't know the services that someone like me can provide. And it's important that I get out to those individuals so they know the different options and the different exercises that I can help them with. Some people naturally go through rebirths and can handle it, sort of how animals can give birth in the wild and animal instinct kinks in. Some other people need more assistance of someone like me, and that's where I come in and assist them with that.
You are there for those individuals who need a spiritual C-section, you may say, the ones who need outside influence, need the helping hand.
Right. I can help when the spiritual rebirth happens naturally. I can assist with the actual birthing process naturally, but when we're having problems with that rebirth and bringing in that new self into life, we may have to have other options like a spiritual C-section or some other type of mechanism to assist them in getting that new spirit out and in essence becoming a new person.
Now I wonder, what is the first step in this process? You mentioned the term, I will paraphrase you and say spiritual impregnation. Mm-hmm. I assume this is the start of the process. Can you explain that some more?
Well, to go further with your question, when a person mentally has decided or feels that they need that rebirth, but they just have not had the opportunity to have that rebirth naturally occur, impregnate themselves with that rebirth, I help them topically come up with different topical solutions that I apply on them for them to start. It's like a catalyst to the spiritual rebirth.
And definitely the dermis, the gateway in many ways to the womb, and thereby the spiritual womb, of course, and thereby this constant rebirth can be modified by the use of these topical agents.
Yes, Doctor, yes. Absolutely. These topical agents are what, in essence, is the catalyst to the rebirth.
Well, it is so wonderful to have you here with us, Dr. Epi. And I believe we also have, coming to us from scientific wings, we have Dr. Roberta Sharp returning after many, many seasons. Professor Sharp, yes, welcome.
Hello there. How are you?
Dr. Sharp, we are only too well.
That is fantastic to hear. I am listening with great interest about the spiritual rebirth because, as you know, my research is about how worms are born. C. elegans, in fact, and the defects that can occur with the birth of worms.
Worm defects.
Yes.
I think what's so beautiful about the worm is that in many ways, because it is a lower organism yet so similar to us, it is easy to see that the entire system, all of the worms together, are simply a continuation of the same life, that one propagating into the other, a system of life.
Yes, I think this is definitely part of my point of view, which is that the worm is the spice of life.
Well, I mean, you do see the cycle of life when you do study worms, because their lifespan is so short and you go from birth to adult so quickly.
Perfect.
And the worm is a hermaphrodite, so it goes, it births itself. It doesn't need any other worm to help fertilize it, so it's quite consistent with this spiritual rebirth. It's a nice parallel, even though theirs is a physical rebirthing. And there are defects that occur, such as bag of worms, which we discussed on the last show that I was on.
Yes, many a time I have purchased some worms from the store, from the 7-Eleven or the like, and they are glued together. Like, these defects, I know them, I have seen them.
Doctor, I have one question. Regarding your study of worms, and due to my expertise in spirituality, what would you say is the spiritual journey of a worm, especially being that they have such a short lifespan?
Well, it's quite interesting, because worms have, you know, it's very interesting, because worms are hermaphrodites, or mostly hermaphrodites, and when they're fertilized, they actually what's called cytoplasm with all their brothers and sisters, and so they come forth from the shared space, and then they're born as individuals. And they share a plate. That's their world that I can see under the microscope. And then when it's their turn to bear children, they bear children. But if they don't have enough nutrients, those children fail to hatch properly, and they don't lay the eggs. And so what happens is that the eggs hatch within the mother, and then the children eat their way out of their mother.
So I have a question, which is, when we look at the human animal, the humans do not reproduce too many children at one time. How many worms may a worm give birth to?
It's in the hundreds. It's somewhere between 100 and 300 children.
That is quite astounding. I am wondering if it would be possible for a human to undergo this spiritual journey in that manner.
Well, I mean, if you take the spiritual parallel, I mean, before we are born, it may be possible that our spirits share a space, and that we come out of that space together, and we experience our individual lives.
I agree with that. Regarding your comment about the 300 births or so, I've never had the chance to assist someone with 300 spiritual births. That's very rare, but very, very powerful. It's what we call in our field a fee simple spiritual awakening, when usually more than 150 different spiritual rebirths occur to one mortal self. So it's very interesting. It is possible, but does not happen a lot.
Yeah, I think the idea there, and Dr. Sharp maybe can correct me, but there are the potential humanities that may have existed for each one of our births is a staggering galaxy of personality and life. And am I correct in the wild, the world of the worm, many of these offspring will not survive?
Well, that is quite possible, and also, you know, in the wild, and actually in science and in the lab, there does exist males in the worm world, and they can come in and fertilize the hermaphroditic worms and create genetic diversity. So you actually have both options available to the worm to create genetic diversity. You have the option of creating genetic diversity, or you have the option of just creating more worms that have the same genetic background.
I find this an amazing opportunity to study the chaos of each individual of genetic material. Because if you think of it, all of them begin with the same start if a hermaphrodite produces with itself. But then they have so many hundreds of lives to live out in different conditions. And you can see where the end lies. And this is an opportunity that we as humans do not yet have.
No, I think, Aurora, I think we do. I think that like the flower who generously spreads the pollen in the air, knowing that so many of the half-offspring will not survive, that similarly many of our brothers and sisters, our potential existences, do not ever exist. And surely for every poet, there are thousands of potential poets who were greater in every dimension, who never had the chance to live, and you and I are both the random, fortunate beings that were able to live the lives that we have.
Yes, but when we observe in the physicality, and when we reach out to one another in the spiritual realms, it is only when we have identical twins that we can see the great diversity that is not even coded physically. That's the diversity than when we reach into the spiritual realms.
That's a great point that you bring up. Now talking about identical twins, as in spiritual rebirthing, there is the very, very unique case where there is a twins. You can actually come to life again as twins and have two spiritual beings inside of you. And it's very rare, but it's a very, very fantastic situation.
Is this sort of a multiple personalities thing where only one entity can drive at once, or are they all present within?
No, they're both present within. Western medicine may sometimes call this schizophrenia, but in the spiritual world, we don't call it schizophrenia. We call it multiple spirits trying to cater to yourself and to your being in order for you to be a more centered and spiritual person.
Doctor, what is your opinion on the conventional view that schizophrenia is a problem, a disease to be cured in Western medicine? Do you agree? Do you disagree? Do you support twin spiritual births?
That's a very good question. In this form of schizophrenia, there's several forms of schizophrenia, which can be a very long conversation, but for the sake of this show, spiritual schizophrenia, Western medicine and Western psychology has insisted that is a mental disorder, but in fact, spiritual schizophrenia, or as we call multiple spirits, is actually a blessing, because to live a life with more than one spirit, to live a life with multiple spirits inside of you, guiding you, is actually a gift. And it's something that should be cherished and not to be sedated, as Western medicine insists it should be.
I suppose that in certain circumstances, the spirits are in conflict, are not harmonious. And that, I believe, is what leads to many of the problems that have led to schizophrenics being widely medicated.
That can happen sometimes, but it's important in those times for the person who is blessed to have these multiple spirits to understand what's going on, so no physical action or no physical brutality happens at that time. Again, it's all about being in touch with your one self, and somebody who has multiple spirits within really needs that coach and needs that guidance in order for those spirits to live in unison and have a complete and enriched life.
I think the lesson here is that we are normally too focused on the individual and the one personality, where really we have to remember that perhaps we are more like the worms. Our own individual life is really only the continuation of a greater life force that was lived by those before us and those before them. And in that view, multiple personalities in one physical form, multiple spirits in one body, really is not that out of the question. Do you agree?
Definitely not. Definitely not. In fact, my studies and my experience has shown that there are many times that we may have more than one spirit inside of us, but we think of most of ourselves as single spirits because that other spirit is very quiet. Mm-hmm. That other spirit is very torpid. And as I said, it's a matter of bringing those spirits to life and living in unison and living a beautiful and enriched life.
Now, Doctor, have you ever experienced a spiritual birth in concurrence with a physical one?
Yes, I have. I've had several patients who, at the time that they're giving a physical birth, they've also given a spiritual birth. And these are patients that I myself have coached, and I myself have helped throughout the process, individually from their actual medical doctors. And it's imagine the most beautiful experience in your life, doubled.
Yeah, I think this is wonderful. And I think that I personally have witnessed these great transformations that unlike physical birth, which is often painful and traumatic in many ways, a spiritual birth can be very rewarding. And I think that it's amazing, these kinds of changes that can take place. Well, I also would like to, perhaps Dr. Sharp can speak more to this, but in the botanical world, the idea of multiple species or the multiple beings, incarnations existing simultaneously is quite common, so that one may make a polyploid a fruit which is much larger and combines the material from many apples into a single fruit, making a larger fruit with more mild seeds. And I think similarly, we have this experience spiritually.
Well, I don't know if I can necessarily draw spiritual parallels from the genetic engineering of the plant world, but it is true that plants that can be made tetraploid, which basically means they have double the DNA of the normal version or the wild version of that plant. Mm. And those plants are often much larger than the normal version. Also, you can make a triploid, which it has 1.5 times the DNA of a normal plant, and those are typically infertile, which is why they're seedless. But I don't know if that's in tune with the spiritual world to purposefully make infertile plants.
Well, I think the infertility, if I may, it lies in the quick willingness to shed from one coating to another. So in other words, if we stop thinking about it necessarily as a birthing or as a reproduction, but instead as shedding the skin as of a snake and removing the coat,
A molt,
that the result is emerging one, so readily emerging one soul into another. And I think, like the fruit, which is jammed with so many different souls, the show is also jammed with many different shows, different souls. And if you would like to jam your soul in the show, the number is 617-253-8810, and we barely have room.
Yes, there is also this matter, I think, of a kind of mosaicism. I believe it is... Now, I am not the expert, so perhaps you may shed some light on this, but it is possible to have a single organism which carries different DNA in different cells.
That is definitely true, and actually a common case of mosaicism in humans is people afflicted with Down syndrome. They have one extra chromosome, and often that chromosome isn't present in some of their cells, and so they're genetic mosaics. Some of their cells are normal, and some of their cells contain an extra chromosome and are affected with Down syndrome. So yes, that we have all kinds of genetic diversity. We are messy, messy beings.
When you mean messy beings, do you mean messy worms or messy humans?
I mean that we are, I mean, not that we create messes necessarily, but that there's a lot of stochastic events that have to occur to create a being, and there are a lot of mistakes made. We're certainly not perfect. We're not perfectly made. We are an accumulation of mistakes, and yet we still more often than not come into existence.
Well, Dr. Sharp, I mean, it is as much to say that we were not constructed in a cathedral. We were constructed, haphazardly, but we are a creature of survival, so that in spite of the randomness, that we continue to exist.
Still, I think this mosaicism, it is a sign. Perhaps you may zoom out and see one organism, or zoom in and see different kinds. It is about the holism. And we can regard this in the spiritual sense, as Erno said earlier, we can say, is this piece an individual, or is it a piece of a whole? And it only depends upon your point of view.
Well, and we don't necessarily make distinctions, right? It's not one or the other. It's all of the above.
Well, I just would like to say that I think this is such an interesting dialogue we're having here between the worms and the spiritual sense. Let's not forget that worms are attracted to apples. Apples are also the epicenter of spirituality, as an apple has not only religious and even biblical significance, but it also is the same color and a similar shape of the heart. And without the heart, there can be no spirit. And it's so interesting how both worms and us trying to be a stronger and more evolved spiritual being, in essence, have in common something as simple as an apple.
And it definitely is true, and many of us spend such great portions of our lives attempting to tunnel and eat our way through one another's hearts.
Oh, I'm very, very sorry to hear that.
No, it is a beautiful phenomenon.
I wonder, as the worms seek the apple for their nourishment, what is our spiritual apple as humans? What are we constantly seeking? To carry this analogy further.
Well, we're constantly as well, just as the worm tries to go through the apple and come out of the apple, we ourselves, our spiritual being, are trying to come out of our body, which is our temple, to explode and radiate into the world, our spiritual self, our spiritual being. And it's when that explosion happens and when that beautiful reaction occurs is that we're really in unison with nature and with everything around us, and it's such a beautiful experience.
I think that what unifies scientists and people of a more spiritual bent is that all of us are trying to understand the world around us, and where I try to understand the world around us by analyzing worms and understanding biological phenomenon, you guys try to understand the world around you by exploring your spirituality. And I think that is the thing that unifies people.
And Dr. Sharp, I think it is truly a unified endeavor. This mention of the worm, it recalls to my mind the images of my youth when we would consume apples that had sit on the tree and had somewhat been attacked, had been partially consumed by worms. And obviously these were the apples that had the most flavor. These were the ones that were prized both by us and by the worm. And one who is living in a clinical life may not realize the quality of the partially eaten apple, and may also forget that the worm itself, it leaves behind a flavor which is unique. And I think similarly, the spiritual worm, it may consume the heart or it may consume the body, but it does not leave the consumed simply in oblivion, empty of life, empty of existence. A person remains as a more fertile, easily digestible, spiritual excrement. Again, if anyone would like to join in, I'm sorry to interrupt, the number is 617-253-8810. Let's bring our first caller on. Marhaban, caller.
Hi. I just wanted to let you know that Move On is going to have a big rally at Park Street tomorrow about the Wisconsin situation, supporting the workers.
The you mean, is this the worker symbolizing also the worm? Is it's the consumption?
No, there's no symbolism here. Workers are real people. They're not symbols, and they need to eat. They could eat worms, however.
And apples.
But I'm just not sure. It's not a symbolic movement.
I think that many movements are merely symbolic. Those ones tend to depress and anger me. I'm interested in movements that make change, like what we're seeing in other foreign countries now, but not in domestic countries.
So we are working to spiritually change.
Well, spirituality has always been linked with drugs. And to some extent, you know, we eat the body of Christ, we do this, we do that, but the shaman, of course, the shamanistic traditions are heavily into tree bark and rock roots.
I
and
feel
all
like that's an overstatement.
Now, caller, I may agree that many people in history have used drugs as a crutch to achieve their spiritual understanding of the world, but that is not necessarily true of everyone.
Caller, if I may add, as a doctor in spirituality, I can assure you that there's no drugs in my practice. The only real topical solution that I use is a solution called Vivaporu, which in Western medicine would be something like Vicks Vapor Rub, which is very important because due to its scent and due to the way it permeates through the body, it helps waken the spiritual sense. And that's something that you could just buy over the counter. So I disagree with your stance that spirituality may be linked with the use of drugs, and most importantly, illegal drugs.
Well,
I'd never used the word illegal.
Well, look,
I probably should more pull back and say chemistry.
Well, caller, and about
there, there is a chemical component and there is a wave component, yes?
And what? Is love not all chemistry?
But nonetheless, Muammar Gaddafi has accused his opponents of having attempted a revolution because somebody put chemicals in their drinks.
Right, and Gaddafi has also not had a spiritual rebirth. That's something that's very interesting that you bring him up. A problem with dictators is that dictators don't have spiritual rebirths. Look at
what
happened.
Because they can't let go.
Well, they can't let go, and that's part of the problem that's one of the solutions to the problem that I'm trying to offer.
Well,
dictators.
And maybe we all should take a leaf out of the book and learn to let go, because I'm just not sure how it is spiritually informing for us to, to consider the, you know, entering a particular ritual to remove a symbolic issue.
Yes, and it certainly shed some light to dissect the worms, so perhaps we should look more in that direction.
Dissect, bisect, vivisect, it's all sect. And there we get back to religion as distinct from spirituality, because religion also has sects, which is no doubt based on the same verbal kernel.
Well, at the birth of religions...
And I know the doctor likes that word, kernel.
At the birth of religions are not necessarily sects.
Well, in any case, caller, thank you for joining us with your strange contribution.
Tomorrow at the State House at noon. Only the willing.
Perhaps we're all meant to find that State House in our spirit, in our mind, the part that controls us, the part where our soul sits, and reinvent it. And maybe this is what the spiritual birth is.
I think that the spiritual rebirth, from my point of view, it is somewhat of a metaphor for the strive for individuality and to be different from the rest of society, and yet not to stray so far that you may not sympathize or that you may feel that others do not sympathize with you.
But is not birth one of the most common human experiences, and in experiencing rebirth, do we not connect with all of those millions of other rebirths that occurred before us?
Yes, I believe at least half of humanity gives birth at some point or another.
That is very true, at least the physical birth. But the spiritual rebirth is something that occurs. Millions of spiritual rebirths happen each second. Some of them, of course, we cannot see because we do not know when they're going on, but they're happening nonetheless. Sometimes it does not have to be an individual. It can be a group, a country. Someone or something that enters a new facet and a new part of their life due to a spiritual rebirth.
Yes. It turns out that in my youth I had one of these spiritual rebirths. I was not familiar with those of your discipline, unfortunately, and I was left with some quite ugly spiritual stretch marks.
Oh, spiritual stretch marks. I'm very sad to hear that. That's something I could definitely assisted you with. The ointment that I talked previously about, Viva Boru, that will definitely assist with the spiritual stretch marks. Do you understand what the spiritual stretch marks are and what causes them?
I think that I spent some time meditating personally on the subject, although I have not read the literature. It was clear to me which problems which were left residually from the birthing, but I am not sure that I understand in general, no.
Okay. The spiritual stretch marks are sometimes caused due to the new spirit and during the rebirthing. If the latency period of the rebirth is too long, you may get these stretch marks because the spirit is trying to break the outer shell, which is your body, to release itself to the universe. And sometimes not having a doctor and a professional like myself to assist you with that can lead to a spirit being trapped in your body and trying to get out very violently.
But doctor, are not stretch marks a beautiful sign of the birth that has occurred and of the fruit that our body has produced?
Well, I agree that it's a tangible evidence that you have gone through birth or rebirth. But unfortunately, society does not see the beauty in stretch marks, or spiritual stretch marks for that matter, and are very judgmental to people who have stretch marks in their body. And that's something that when we have a spiritual rebirth, we should try to embrace.
Well, we realize that stretch marks are, in fact, scar tissue.
Yes, they are.
A scar. This is why I say again, the physical birth, it's a traumatic thing. It's injurious. But spiritual birth, it may occur thousands of times during a single hour. And each person, each reborn person, is constructed from the same material physically, but completely rearranged spiritually. This sort of change can occur.
Now, I have a question concerning this rebirth subject. I am wondering if it is possible for a rebirth to not happen completely, for the new spirit to begin to transform from the old one, and yet for the old one to perhaps not give up.
That does happen sometimes, and it's a very complicated matter. That's what we call a spiritual stillborn, and that does not happen a lot. But in the matter that it does happen, you need a professional as myself, because that's when I have to take the old spirit out and put in the new spirit, because there is a constant battle for the spirits, and that's when you need a professional to assist you with that, because if not, if the older spirit and the new spirit stays in, the older spirit may try to eat or may try to destroy the new spirit.
Now, are there any signs that this may happen ahead of time? Is there the possibility that you may avoid this unfortunate situation, perhaps by practicing some habits?
Absolutely. Actually, one of the things that we were talking about previously, apples, eating, having a good balanced diet, and especially of apples, will ensure that that new spirit is nourished sufficiently to, when its time comes to go through the rebirth process, it's strong and healthy to come out to the universe and, again, be in unison with everything around it.
Are there specific types of apples which may be more beneficial?
The red is always the best.
How many would you say you need to have enough apple balance in your diet?
That's a very good question. I would say at least two a day. And it has to be the apple juice or apple byproducts simply do not cut the nutritional content of your regular apple.
Does consuming the seeds of the apple help in any way?
That's a great question, Aurora. Absolutely. The seed is the seed of life. The seed equals life. Mm. And to have the seed of an apple inside of you is the maximum that someone can do to assist in the spiritual rebirth process.
Now, this is absolutely remarkable. For one of the most balanced people I've ever met used to consume an apple from the outside in, and to eat the core and partake in it as well. And I've always wondered if that had anything to do with the spiritual balance that he felt deep inside.
Well, ever the voice of reason, I would warn you all that apple seeds contain cyanide, so you should limit your intake at some extreme.
Yeah, but, you know, there are very ancient sayings. In Arabic, we have a saying that if I were to translate, it would mean that the person who consumes at least one apple per day is free from requiring visits to a spiritual midwife.
Not necessarily. And I want to make a comment about the cyanide and apples. You know, I'm not Jim Jones, and cyanide found in apples is so small that it cannot affect the body in those methods. And an apple of a day, in my personal experience, does not keep a spiritual doctor like me away, because in fact, I like to, part of my job is the joy that I bring to people when I assist them with that rebirth. And if the spirit being reborn is a healthy one due to the consumption of apples, then the whole experience is just more joyous, more beautiful.
Well, and also, Dr. Sharp, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I believe the cyanide which is in apple seeds is organic and more healthy than synthetic cyanide, which is a poison.
Cyanide is a molecule. It's not organic or inorganic. That makes no sense. I'm sorry. I don't think that eating the seeds of one apple will make anyone ill, but in the extreme case where someone may listen to this radio show and partake in many, many apple seeds, I just wanted to warn the community and make it clear.
Doctor, let me ask you a question. Have you had a spiritual rebirth?
I'm having one tonight.
I don't sense the spiritual. I don't sense that aura from you. How long have you been expecting?
Well,
5 years.
5 years, doctor?
Yes.
5 years? What are some of the pains or what's some of the symptoms that you've been having for this rebirth? And why do you know it's happening tonight?
Well, look.
Well, I've been having contractions all day.
Spiritual. I'd like to just briefly, because Dr. Sharp is very interesting about the apple. It seems to me simply that a person, if they were to make a bowl of apple seeds constructed from plastic and all injected with synthetic cyanide, there is a difference between consuming these cyanide pills and consuming a bowl of apple seeds. I think there is definitely gluttony in consuming a big bowl, 35 apple seeds. But perhaps that's where the danger lies. Well, let's once again, if anyone would like to call, we have a few minutes, 617-253-8810. Caller, marhaban.
Hi there. I wanted to comment on the apple seed cyanide thing you're talking about.
Yes.
I would like to say that maybe a little bit of cyanide every day is actually good and partly beneficial even. Well, so take in a little toxicity from your environment, maybe is good for everybody.
I'm not sure, Connor, and Dr. Sharp can bring in the very, very reasoned mind here, but it seems to me that less poison is better. Dr. Sharp?
That's actually not always the case. Sometimes being exposed to a little bit of radiation or some low level of toxicity actually protects the individual, but I'm not sure that's the case with cyanide.
Well, I don't know. I always heard an apple a day.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't disagree with the apple a day, but I do disagree with consuming a lot of apple seeds.
An apple a day...
definitely. Well, too much. Everything in moderation.
An apple a day will definitely keep your spiritual health intact, and it will definitely keep any type of spiritual doctor away and not necessary to advise you on a weekly or monthly basis. But again, it's important for you to know your spiritual self, and when the time comes for that spiritual rebirth, to understand what's going on. Doctor, I sense that you may not know what's been going on spiritually in order for you to be equipped with the joyous and miracle that's going to occur to you this evening.
I'm not sure what's in store for me tonight. It's true.
I can assist you after the show.
I would really appreciate your help.
We can talk. I'll be more than happy to assist you with that.
Okay, we can exchange numbers or something.
Okay, it'll be my pleasure to assist you with that. Maybe all of us here in the studio can experience the entity and the beauty behind the spiritual rebirth.
I think perhaps as I will opt out,
we can perhaps get some apples. We could all chip in. We can make sure the apples are certified organic, so the cyanide in the seeds will also be certified organic. That was a concern with the previous batch we were talking about, if I remember.
Absolutely. Red and delicious apples are sometimes the best. Yeah, as long as they're organic, we could really be in touch with nature and know that there's no other type of external stimulant or pesticides.
Oh, definitely. Well, living around in this area, we have a great variety of apples to choose from.
Yeah, absolutely. There are a number of apples, but it's difficult, I find, you know, as a person who is accustomed to consuming partially consumed fruit, to find a piece that is covered in wax or what are these things, is very shiny, and almost it seems like something that was painted by an artist and not like real food.
Mm. Well, sometimes I like to refrain from eating apples, sometimes for weeks at a time.
Just
and
eat chocolate bars.
But yes, by doing that, your spiritual being is being famished and you're starving them, and I ask you to experience this, and I recommend this. In those situations where you're not eating apples, try to outwardly look in and see how your external life is going. And I can assure you, caller, that most probably there are problems in your life, whether at work or at school, because without the spirit being nourished and without the spirit being happy, you will not be happy.
Well, caller, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I'm famished.
My son. And everyone, unfortunately, we have reached once again the end of the hour. So thank you all for being with us, Dr. Sharp.
Thank you.
And Aurora.
Thank you so much. Namaste.
Assalamu. Thanks to Dr. Epi.
Muchas gracias. Thank you.
Very interesting discussion on the spiritual midwifery. And Erno.
Thank you, Doctor. Have a good weekend.
And thanks to Zorro.
Thank you, and thank you as always to all the listeners out there.
Thanks to our many callers, and apologies to the ones that we couldn't get to. I'm Dr. Jalis Sakran here on Music for Human, which is New Age Talk Radio with an emphasis on you. We are here every Friday at 7 p.m. Stay tuned for Radio Ninja here on WMBR Cambridge 88.1. Ma'asalama.
For safety.
Number one.
Cars and bikes stop at red lights.
It's against the law for car drivers or bicycle riders to ignore traffic signals.
So don't buzz through red lights. There might be a pedestrian or turning car that doesn't see you coming.
Number two.
Look first before you open your door.
Numerous bicyclists have been injured or even killed by car doors suddenly opening into them.
Look first, and bicyclists, stay out of the door zone.
Number three.
Cross cross with the signal.
You are safest if you wait for a walk or green traffic signal.
Don't jaywalk. That's just walking into trouble.
Number four.
Cars and bikes should stop for pedestrians in unsignalized crosswalks.
Be nice. Be legal. Be safe.
Brought to you as a public service by the Cambridge Bicycle Committee and this station.
He came from outer space to save the human race. A creature with a dream to entertain the children of the night. The rest, as they say, became history.
Magogo, the show, Saturdays, 8 p.m., WMBR, 88.1 FM, Cambridge.
Giggles here. Big thank you to Music for Human Beings and their wonderful episode today. Lovely guests. Good luck with that birth. I was half listening but half pulling music for this show, which is great because I have tons of new music, which is really fun. There's this one I have. It's, you know, it's got a swear word in the name. There's like, there's been a couple bands like this that have, you know, FCC incompatibilities in the name of the band, and it's really inconvenient for radio DJs because we're trying to promote this stuff and you gotta kind of skirt around it.